What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers weekly tech podcast. This is episode 168, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out, gives us a little kickback, and of course keeps the podcast going. With me this week, I have a new guest, or he's been on, I think.
I'm not new.
But you,
this is like my third
Okay, you've been on a couple times. Everybody say what's up to Ryan. He's in the house. How's Kansas?
It was cold, man. We got some snow this weekend. They were predicting almost like 8 inches for us, which is a lot. It ended up tapering off and we got like, I don't know, 3 or 4. But
yeah, it seems like winter's just not going away. Like, it's supposed to go away.
No.
It was warm for like 2 days and you thought like, oh, spring's here, and then it just snowed. It snowed here today. I'm just so sick of the winter. It just needs to be over soon.
Yeah. We don't get below like zero very often, but like we've had some days with wind chills and just like, you know, below zero stuff, which doesn't happen that often here. So everybody's kind of freaking out.
Yeah. So, well, the good thing about it being cold, I guess you could play games, you could build computers,
that's right,
and you can do all that fun inside stuff. So talking about that, we'll jump right into our reviews this week. And the only thing we got done this week is the Cooler Master Hyper 212 RGB Black Edition CPU cooler. And if you remember, the Hyper 212 is like one of the most popular low-cost CPU coolers of all time. I think it's still like the original one. I think you can still get it on Amazon, and it's still like the Amazon choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's super good quality, right? It cools really well, and it's so low priced, and it doesn't look like a piece of junk. Like, I have it on my secondary system cooling my 4790K, and I love that thing.
Yeah. So this is like the new version. They kind of relaunched. I think there's like 4 of these, kind of with, like, this one has RGB, and then there's one above it that has ARGB and all this stuff, but it's pretty much the same cooler on all of them. So it's a single tower cooler with 4 heat pipes, and the heat pipes make direct contact with your CPU, of course, for better heat transfer. Ours is the RGB Black Edition, so we have an RGB fan, and the entire heatsink is black. Even like the heat pipes are nickel plated copper. Like, it looks awesome. And the one thing about this is, we talked about the previous Cooler Master coolers that I've reviewed. The installation on those have been pretty horrible. This installation's easy. I don't know why the rest of their other coolers don't use this system that they have on this. The installation's really easy. And the kicker with this whole thing is that the performance is amazing for how small this cooler is. Like, they should just make this cooler and that's it. Like,
yeah,
it's
you don't have those memory clearance issues, right? Like, it's not that wide. You can slap a fan to the back of it, I think, too. Don't they give you the option?
Yeah, so
maybe that's another
model. It comes with a single fan, but they give you the fan bracket to put a second fan on if you want to.
Yeah.
And they give you the Y cable as well. So, you know, you can plug them both into the CPU fan header. Yeah, there's no clearance issues at all with this. Again, super easy to install, and the performance is awesome. It's the second best CPU cooler we've tested, out of like 6, and a lot of the other ones are bigger, and all that. I was just so amazed by the performance of this cooler. It's by far like one I would highly recommend, and it's $34.99. And you get the RGB fan in there as well, and they do include a controller with it. So if you don't have a motherboard that has RGB headers, you have the controller that allows you to change modes as well as colors. Like, it's just so awesome. It's just like, if you're looking at an air cooler, this would be one I would be like, yes, it's $34.99. You get some RGB. Great performance, easy to install, especially if you're a first-time builder. Like, it's just everything in one package. Yeah.
Yeah, that price is crazy. What, $34.99? And, like, some companies would charge you $34.99 for a fan, an RGB fan, and a controller, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you're getting, like, an awesome heatsink with it is crazy.
Yeah, and that heatsink does the performance that it does. I mean, it's the second best out of 6 coolers. Some of them are dual, you know, heatsink tower coolers and all that. So really, really impressed with this. Highly recommended. We gave it a 10 out of 10 and a recommended, and I don't give out recommended awards on the site at all. You know, like, usually like one product every, I don't know, 3 months gets something like that. But this is one that I would highly recommend. So definitely check out the review. And again, if you're looking for an air cooler, if it's not high-end desktop, definitely pick up this cooler. It does a great job. And it's easy, like I said, easy to install. So check that review out for sure. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And this week, well, last week we had an RGB build. And this week we have like this insane RGB build. I think that a lot of people liked last week's build because it was like RGB, but it was more subtle. This is like RGB in your face. Some people love these and some people don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like the color scheme right here is like it's a very pastel RGB though when I'm looking at a lot of these pictures. Like, you know what I mean? They're kind of those almost Easter-y pastel colors as opposed to just like solid versions of every color. But it looks, I think it looks
great. I think it looks great. I think it is kind of like in your face a little bit. But there are a couple things that I really do like about this. One, this is the reservoirs have the helix in them. Which you don't see a lot anymore. That was kind of like really popular like 4 or 5 years ago. You don't see that. And like literally everything is RGB. Like all of the cabling is RGB. So like the PCI Express power cables and the 24 pin, they're RGB as well. Those just came out this past year. So you have all of that in there. Like it's just, it's crazy, this build. And it's done by this Monstar Gear company where they're like a system builder, but they do these custom builds, and I believe they're out of Korea, maybe? I believe they're out of Korea. So it's really cool that there's like a system integrator like this that's doing these insane builds. And they have a lot on their Facebook, which we have linked, so definitely check that out. But dual graphics cards in here. It's done inside the Corsair 1000D, which is huge.
That's a big case.
Yeah, so you know, all Corsair fans in there, the Corsair Node Pro, which is the lighting. I mean, this thing is, I would love to have this sitting next to my, like next to me, and just annoy people with the RGB lighting.
Yeah, it's pretty decked out. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely check this build out. It's just insane. If you're a fan of RGB, you're gonna love this. But as I always say, we do have a full section of Case Mod Friday build. So if this isn't your thing, there's definitely something in there for you guys to check out. And it is the beginning of the month. This is the first podcast of course, March. So that means we have 20 of the worst PC setups. This is where we go out and find really horrible PC setups and just kind of show them to you, whether the people are moving. They had enough money to buy the PC, but maybe not enough money to buy like a desk or something like that. Or they're just dirty people and they just don't care about what their setup
it's
looks like.
It's like a train wreck. You just can't look away, but you keep scrolling through them.
Yeah, and the best thing about it is even if you have the most modest setup, it makes you feel so much like it makes you feel so good about your setup because there's somebody playing games on one of these horrible setups. Like I'm looking at this one. This guy has his mouse up on like a stack of books on a chair and his monitor and keyboard are on this table that's so small. And I'm
like, I have that laptop stand. Like I have that exact one now that I'm looking at that picture.
Yeah.
And it's so flimsy and wobbly. I hate using it. I can't imagine using it full time.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts.
Some of these are just so bad and some of the either PCs are bad or the setups are bad. Really, really funny. This one guy built his own standing desk, which is a really bad version of a standing desk. But yeah, it is cool to see what people do, or like a lot of the stuff is like hand-me-downs. Like people don't have a lot of money.
Was the standing one the one with the two like big tubs stacked on one side? Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. So really, really funny stuff. Definitely check it out. We feature the article once a month, and this month we have some really funny ones. So definitely check that out. It gives you a big laugh. I would say for sure.
There's some ingenuity on this laptop one. He took the cover off and just has a fan blowing down on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of funny.
That's pretty funny.
So that brings us to news this week. And again, it's kind of getting into that little slow time. We're after CES, but we're way before Computex. So there's not a whole lot going on, but there's just a little bit of stuff going on this week. And we'll start out with NVIDIA And the marketing materials for the GTX 1650 have surfaced, so this is happening. A lot of people, you know, think that the 1660 Ti would be like the last card, but it, obvious that, I mean, they need a lower price point. They need that under $200 price point for graphics cards. They just do. So it looks like this is happening, and the leak came from Andreas, who works at Hardware Lux, and he was right about a lot of the newer graphics card stuff, and he said that it will use 4 gigabytes of GDDR5, which doesn't surprise me. This card is said to be $199, I believe, and being it will probably be the lowest card in the new stack of graphics cards, I believe. That makes sense. I feel that Nvidia has a lot of GDDR5 laying around.
I was a little surprised to see it, right? Like 4 gigs of GDDR5 compared to the 1660 being on GDDR6. But I mean, you're probably right. They've probably got so much of it left that they're just throwing it on anything they can.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this all makes sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see, because 4 gigs could do 1080p. Like, this would be the 1080p card. Maybe not at the highest settings, but like, you know, pretty high settings. Definitely like the esports card, $199. That's what we've been hearing for this card. So
I thought we saw 179,
or it could be 179. 179 to 199, probably depending on the which card you get. Sure. and like the overclocks and everything like that. But probably will be the 1080p card, and I wouldn't think we're gonna go any lower than this on cards.
Yeah, I mean, like, if the true bottom is 179, like, I don't know what's their market below that, right? Like, who are you trying to hit up at that point?
Well, that's the thing, and if this card does 1080p, I mean, you're not gonna make a card for 720p.
720 monitors, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're not. So
that makes sense.
So yeah, so I'm excited for it. I like that. Fine, like, I hate how these rollouts go, right? Because they do the rollout so you buy the stuff. You know what I mean? Like, just give me the whole lineup at once, you know?
Yes, and it feels like we used to be on that, right? Like, you would get the whole lineup and you're like, okay, here's what I have to choose from. Like, what do I want to budget for? Do I want to wait another month, save up some money, and, like, hop up another level? Or do I have to play this waiting game and be like, well, something might come out in 3 months that, you know, I could have afforded, or, you know, I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. So 1650 definitely coming. I believe it's April 30th, yes, for that. So, well, that's the rumor. So that, and NVIDIA did update their RTX bundle. So we've seen it both from AMD and NVIDIA. When you buy a new graphics card, you get a game or a set of games. The current RTX, well, it's not current anymore, but the previous RTX bundle, you got Battlefield 5 and Anthem, which is two pretty good games.
One good game.
Anthem looked really good, but it's
It had potential, but
yeah. But I think it looks beautiful in general from what I've seen.
Sure.
So you got those two if you bought a 2080 or 2080 Ti. If you bought a 2060 or 2070, you got to pick between the two. But they've just added Metro Exodus to that. So if you buy a 2080 or 2080 Ti, you get all three games, which I think is a great value. If you get a 2060 or 2070, you get to pick out of the three, which is nice as well. So just giving more value to those higher NVIDIA prices that we've seen for graphics cards. But I think it's great because they are three AAA titles. Metro, while there's been a bunch of drama, it's said to be a really great game. Anthem, again, has had some problems. But it looks beautiful, and the game mechanics do seem really good. I haven't played it. And of course, we all know Battlefield, and Battlefield 5 is a good game, in my opinion. So three games that you're going to add on to that 2080 or 2080 Ti purchase, which I like. I like that. So
yeah, I mean, it makes it, you know, you got some new titles to play with your 2080 or 2080 Ti.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're going to
take advantage of that horsepower, right?
Yeah, and you're going to go broke buying these cards. So, you know.
Yeah, what am I going to play?
Yeah, exactly.
Fortnite.
So, moving over to CPU stuff. We saw a Ryzen 3000 series leak at the last year at in December, and this company, it's a Singapore retailer called Bizgram. They put out pricing for Ryzen 3000 series processors this week, before they're even announced, before anything. And this is like a real company. They put out this list for larger companies to buy these processors whenever they're available. And the pricing, you can actually download the list, but the pricing is in Singapore dollar. And we did the conversion, and it's pretty promising, I think, for what it is.
Yeah, those prices look amazing.
A Ryzen 5 3600X is $257.64. Obviously, these prices will fluctuate a little bit. The Ryzen 7 3700X is $369.85. So that would be like the highest part. That's going to replace the current 2700X, which is the highest part. So $369 probably will be right. I would say it's going to be right around that price for, the highest, or not the highest, but replacing the current highest. And that would be an 8-core, 16-thread part. And then we have the new Ryzen 9s, and the highest one is the Ryzen 9 3850X, which is said to be a 16-core part, but we have no clue if that's true. That's going to be $561, which I think you're getting into the high-end desktop pricing, but again, if you're putting a 16-core, 32-thread part out there, it's going to be that expensive.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal. I remember I bought my 1800X day one and spent $500 on it. So seeing like even the top of the line 7, the 3700X looking like it's going to be $370, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and we have to say, take these all with a grain of salt. This is a real retailer and they did put this list out, we don't know if any of this is true. We don't even know if that Ryzen 9's a thing. You know what I mean? There's been no confirmation of any of this, but this is the second list to come out with all of these model names that are the same. So put that out there. But I'm excited for Ryzen 3. I think that Ryzen, especially second generation, really solidified it. Third generation is going to be really good. And they've been so great with their pricing. I'm just amazed at their pricing compared to Intel. While they still haven't been able to beat Intel when it comes to single core performance and gaming, they put a better product out there in terms of price and performance. And like I said, I mean, you get a CPU cooler with it. You get, you're getting 8-core, 16-thread in the Ryzen 7 parts. I mean, and it's completely unlocked and all that kind of stuff. I like it. I'm really excited for Ryzen 3. And from all the rumors, Ryzen 3 will come out at Computex. It will be announced along with the 500 series chipset, which I'm most excited about because I'm a motherboard guy. So,
yeah, yeah. I think it's some exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. So hopefully those prices stay the same because that's some awesome deals there. And this week, we got new naming for USB once again. I'll refresh everybody because I put it out on Facebook because I was so pissed off about it. We initially had, USB 2, right?
Sure.
Which was 30 megabytes a second, max 33 or whatever. And then we had USB 3, okay? And that was 5 gigabits per second, right? And then we had USB 3.1, which was 10 gigabits per second, right? We're all there. So
sure,
you would think the 20 gigabit standard, which is the new version, what would you think that would be called?
Yeah, 3.2.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
The USB IF, which I have no clue who works at this thing. It's a nonprofit, but whoever's doing this, it's so stupid. And we had it happen with USB, we had it happen with USB 3.1. So USB 3.0 got renamed to USB 3.1 Gen 1. So a lot of these new motherboards, would do our overview videos. I'd be like, this is a USB 3 port. They're like, no, it's 3.1. It's 3.1 Gen 1, which is 3.0. You know what I mean?
Right. Same thing.
Yeah. So now they've renamed everything to USB 3.2. So USB 3.0, which was then changed to USB 3.1 Gen 1, is now called USB 3.1 Gen 1. USB 3.2 Gen 1, I'm sorry. See, I'm already getting confused. USB 3.1, which was then named USB 3.1 Gen 2, has been renamed to USB 3.2 Gen 2. And the new 20 gigabit standard is being called USB 3.2 Gen 2 times 2, 2x2. This is so stupid and confusing because everybody's going to think that USB 3.2 is the super fast standard when it's a USB 3.0 port at 5 gigabits. Like,
right.
It pisses me off so bad because it just confuses people. USB 3.1 Gen 1 and Gen 2 confuse people. You know, because when we talked about new motherboards, the new feature was USB 3.1 10 gigabit. You know, and then 3.0 got called that and everybody thought they were getting the faster USB ports when in fact they weren't. It's so confusing. The 2x2 naming makes no sense. You could have just called it USB 3.2 and we would have understood. Everybody would have understood that that's the fastest one. But you did this and then you're renaming old specifications, which make it even more confusing. I'm so pissed off at this. This is worse than NVIDIA's naming of the 1660 Ti. I don't know why this pissed me off so much, but it really did, because it just confuses the customer and it allows companies to advertise USB 3.2 as something new when it's something that's what, 5-6 years old now.
I mean, it's just a mess. Like, when you have to break out like charts and matrices to figure out like the names and speeds of what you've got, it's just bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry I went on a rant there. USB 3.2 could have been done. It could have been like, that's the new 20 gigabit standard. We understand when, you know, at least for us, when we see that on a new motherboard, we know it's a new thing. But now we have to see, is it Gen 1? Is it Gen 2? Or is it Gen 2x2? Like, it's so confusing.
Right. And then if some of them don't like specify, they're just like on some of the like vague marketing, you'll see like just 3.2 and you're like, well, I mean, maybe it is the fastest, and it leaves too much up in the air.
It's just annoying. So
I had to let it out.
I had to let that out. You know what I mean? So we'll move on from that to cases in the big case launch this week, which we did get to see at CES, is that Li & Li teamed up with Razer to make a Razer edition of the PC011 Dynamic. This case is one of my favorite cases. I've never got to review it, but I've seen it so many times and I've seen so many mods in it. It's such a beautiful case and it allows to really show off your system. We've seen so many builds in it. And the Razer edition, I think it looks nice. The case is so good by itself. There's not a whole lot that you could change. They added chroma lighting to the front. And they, of course, made the USB ports green, which I think is the smallest little thing. But like when I reviewed the NZXT, the Razer NZXT, I think it was H440, maybe. The green USB ports just look cool. And there's a Razer logo on the front. It's kind of etched into the tempered glass, which I think is pretty cool.
Is it RGB as well? Like these images show...
Yeah, I don't know if that's just from the RGB or...
Right, if it kind of hits that because it's kind of...
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay.
But it works with the chroma lighting. It looks really cool. Razer typically only partners with like companies that have like a solid great case, and this is one. I like it. I think it's cool. You do get the Razer chroma lighting on the front and the bottom of the case. In the Razer logo and I think it's it. In the two green USB ports. I think that's the only really major changes to this. But I just think it's cool. I think if you're a fan of Razer, which there are a ton of people out there, this gives you another thing that you know, you can have all your Razer gear plus a Razer case. I like it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't make too many changes, right? They're just a couple of those RGB aesthetic pieces, because this case is awesome looking at, you know, just the standard version. But I think this, you know, if you're a Razer fan and you've got, you know, all their peripherals and you want a nice case to go with it, this is definitely a good choice.
Yeah, and, you know, with Razer Synapse and the Chroma lighting, if you do have Razer gear, it's all going to sync up together. And with the new, we didn't talk about it a lot, but Razer has opened up Synapse, which is their app, for other companies. So, like, if you get, like, Thermaltake fan, RGB fans, they'll sync up with Razer Synapse software. So everything will be together, which it may not seem like a big deal, but when you do an RGB build and you have six different pieces of RGB software and nothing syncs up, it's not that fun. I have a computer sitting next to me that I have to run like four different RGB softwares on. So yeah.
I mean, they had a whole demo room set up with that lighting and had it all tricked out really nice.
Yeah.
CES. It was really cool.
Yeah. So, Cooler Master, they released their AimPad product on Kickstarter. Yeah, it was a Kickstarter. But they released a new keyboard this week or last week, the MK850, that has the AimPad built in. If you're not familiar with the AimPad, it's an analog keyboard that kind of mimics like an analog stick on, say, like a controller. So when you press a key down, if you press it soft, it's going to act like a soft movement. It's not going to act like a key press. Am I making sense there?
Yeah. Like the further you press it down, like think of it like a throttle or something, right?
Yeah. So
you press it down a little bit and you're going a little, press it down further, you're going to accelerate more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that analog control as opposed to digital on and off.
Yeah. And there are some games. What's the one game, the time game, which they demoed at CES. I forget what it's called.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Super Hot. Weren't they doing Super Hot?
Yeah. Super Hot. Yeah. That game specifically can make use of this, but there's going to be a ton of other games that can also make use of this. And it's cool to have it baked in, because when we saw that at CES, I was like, why? It was only a Kickstarter. They weren't going to market that, which I don't know why, because I think it's a really awesome product.
Sweet.
I was like, why can't this be in a product? Well, they didn't tell us that this keyboard was coming out, and it has the AimPad built in to it. So you have the analog control there. So again, if you are playing games like this, it's already baked into the keyboard. These new MK keyboards that are coming out this year, I have one sitting in front of me that I still haven't swapped out yet because I like it so much. They're really great. The wrist rests are great. This is a full-size keyboard. I forget the price of it. It's $199, which is kind of, it is pretty high up there for a keyboard. You know, but you have to think you're getting the AimPad in there as well. It's a full-size keyboard and all that, but yeah,
Now on the, wasn't it just like a couple of the keys that have the analog?
Yeah, it's I believe it's just, it might be WASD.
I think it's just QWER or SDF, I think.
Yeah, it's not the whole keyboard, but
right.
I think it's a cool idea, and I think that if you are a person that plays games like that, you'll really take advantage of it. I think that's the whole reason, like, they saw the success of the AimPad and they were like, okay, we'll put this into a product, you know what I mean? Because obviously the Kickstarter went through and it was successful, so that many people did want a product like this, so they finally put it into one of their products.
So the rest of the keyboard looks like it's kitted out with a Cherry MX Reds.
Yes,
and then the rest of those are AimPad switches.
Yeah, I like it. I would have to really use it to give like a full judgment on it, but I like that, especially a company like Cooler Master, which isn't super known for like gaming, they're more like cases and stuff, like that they're taking this leap and they're like putting this into a gaming keyboard, you know what I mean? I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the last couple of Cooler Master keyboards I've taken a look at.
Yeah, so we have the full press release on the site. Check it out if you are interested. And our last news story. So like I said, short news week for sure. Apex Legends, which we've all been playing.
What's that?
That hit 50 million people, 50 million players. So at least 50 million unique people have logged on to the game.
In one month.
That's more than Fortnite numbers.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I'll see from my point of view when I heard, you know, EA is coming out with a battle royale. We've seen, since the success of PUBG and Fortnite, we've seen a million different battle royale games come out. A ton.
Yep.
None of them got the success of Fortnite. You know, even when PUBG was doing its thing and then Fortnite came in, I was like, I don't think this, you know, Fortnite's going to do it. But they became this global phenomenon. And now this game has the world by storm. I mean, everybody's talking about it. We've all played it. I think the mechanics of the game are so good. I didn't think three person teams, but it's very fast paced game, which I think a lot of people really, really like. PUBG was really slow and the map was so big. Fortnite, it's just a whole different type of game, in my opinion. This is very fast paced, pick up gear and go kill people. I think it's a great game. It's all I've been playing lately. And congrats to them for hitting 50 million. And hopefully, since it is such a big success, we will see like the game progress, new areas of the map, new weapons, new legends. Like, I'm really excited for where this game's going.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun. I know some people have been doing some data mining on some files and think they've discovered some new champions, right? So we'll get to see some more variety there. And like you said, maybe the map's going to evolve over the seasons and things like that. So yeah, it's a really great game. I love it.
Yeah, and the thing that really blows my mind is, like, this is a game that hardly anybody had heard of before it launched.
Sure.
And it was just like the sleeper game, right? And it's turned out to be such a hit. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been this impressed with a game in a long time. Multiplayer game, because I'm trying to think the last game that I played a lot of Fortnite. Obviously played WoW and stuff like that, but like there hasn't been a game recently that I like played and I was like, wow, I want to continue to like keep on playing this and keep on playing this.
Well, and we haven't even mentioned that it's free. Right?
Like, yeah.
Such a good game, free. Obviously, you can buy some in-game currency and things like that, but for a free game, you know, I've spent $0 on it and have probably enjoyed $60 worth of it, right, for a premium title.
Yeah. So, awesome. Great for Respawn and EA. EA, please do not screw this game up. You do that a lot. Hopefully they don't, and this can be like, you know, because you know everybody's gonna buy in-game cosmetic stuff, just like with Fortnite. We talked about it on the podcast, how much money Fortnite makes off cosmetics. Let that be your thing to go build other crap that you make that you destroy by making,
right? Just leave this one alone.
Yeah, leave this alone, please. And yeah, so that's awesome. 50 million in a month is like insane. Hopefully, like I said, they keep it going, and you and I will be playing here. We've been playing a lot, so definitely. We do have our Twitch channel, which isn't like super official, but if you look for search for Think Computers on Twitch, you can find us, and we might be playing. So that's it. I mean, not a whole lot going on. It's so weird to not have a whole lot going on.
Get these ups and downs, and right now feels like we're in a bit of a down.
Yeah, like I said, just not a whole lot of big news. Not, you know, we're not gonna see CPU launches for a little bit. We'll see these lower end graphics card launches, but then as we get closer to Computex, we'll see motherboards, CPUs, and of course there's always awesome cases, which I'm a huge fan of as well. So a lot of stuff. We'll talk about what we have coming up next week, which I will be taking a look at a graphics card. I have a 1660 Ti in. This is the gaming OC 6G from Gigabyte. So this does have an overclock. It has their WinForce 3 cooler. It's pretty much the exact same card besides the chip as the RTX 2060 we took a look at from Gigabyte. So same size and everything. I'm kind of excited for this because so many people are like, I hate RTX features. I don't care about real-time ray tracing. I don't care about DLSS. I just want a game. you know?
I just want to play my games. Yep.
And this is the newest card that's going to allow you to do that without those features. I don't know how much this one is. I didn't look it up. But the normal card is, what, $279? The base price. So right around there. And from what I've seen, because this card has been out for about a week, is that it's about like 15% slower than a 2060. So you're still going to be able to do 1080p at decent frame rates. 1440p, you can slow those settings down, turn your settings down, and you'll get a little bit of higher frame rates there. Still definitely can do 1440p at lower settings, and definitely 1080p. So I'm pretty excited to check that out. And I'll be taking a look at some non-RGB memory, which is something we haven't seen.
They still make that?
Oh, yeah. So Patriot has their new Viper Steel, which basically looks almost like their Viper RGB. But with that, instead of a diffuser at the top with RGB lighting, it has just a piece of black plasticky thing in there. And it looks really good. I like it. And this is 4400 megahertz that they sent us, 16 gigabyte kit, 4400 megahertz. Wow. So very, very fast. Looks, the heat spreader is beautiful on this. And if you're somebody who's not about RGB memory, because I know there's a lot of you out there, this should be pretty affordable as well, because you don't have that feature, obviously. So I'm excited to test it. I'm excited to see if we can get it even higher than 4400 megahertz, which would be kind of impressive as well. So we'll have that, and you'll be doing the part two of your streaming guide. So tell us what the first streaming guide covered, and then tell us what the second part of the guide is going to cover.
Sure. So we released like part one of our beginner's guide to Twitch streaming about a month ago, just going over like fast and easy setup to get you streaming as fast as possible on Twitch. So that's utilizing Streamlabs OBS as kind of that streaming software, getting your Twitch account set up, and creating just a single scene with a couple sources. You know, we utilized Fortnite as our game, set up the audio for our headset and our in-game system sounds, and then added a webcam. So like just kind of the basics of what we consider to be a basic stream and the components. And just kind of going through that, you know, step by step, here's how to add a scene, here's how to adjust them, things like that. Not going into the real deep details of them, you know, different codecs and all those stream settings that you can make to fine tune your stream, but really just getting that out there and getting streaming as fast as possible. Part two, though, we're going into a couple more, I don't want to call them advanced because they're still pretty basic pieces of a stream, but we'll have things like adding a chat overlay to your screen. You know, I think that really helps with allowing your viewers to have a full screen look at your stream, but then they can still see the chat interaction there. They don't have to have kind of a windowed view or chat off to the side. They can just kind of watch it there. We'll also kind of look at some, you know, be right back, stream starting soon screens and how to add those, different various overlays, and then notifications. So you get a new follower, how do you add those to your stream, make it look cool, customize those logos and sounds and text, things like that. So just some of those additional features that add a little bit of quality to your stream. And then, yeah, we'll have that. There may be a part three where we go a little deeper, or we may switch it over to, you know, a little more advanced stuff. Like I said, the different codecs and stream settings that you can make within Streamlabs OBS and then your Twitch profile itself. So yeah, nice. It's been fun writing that up.
I'm excited because I was streaming for a little bit and there were so many different guides, and like some of them were super in depth and some of them like just were wrong. And it's good to have like you said, like I don't want to spend 3 hours setting up OBS and setting my system up. I just want to I just want to stream for like an hour. You know what I mean? Like I want to play for an hour and I want to stream it and I don't care about anything else. I just want to get on Twitch and make it viewable and that's it. And I think I think the first part of the guide definitely does that. I'm excited for the second because I never figured out how to do a chat overlay. It might be easier now, but I tried to do it before and I couldn't figure it out.
It's super easy.
And the thing is like I didn't want to waste that time figuring that out when I could be gaming. So I'm excited to read that. And before we talk about some of the maybe other tech nerd stuff we did this week, I did want to say that if you've been following our YouTube channel, my whole goal for this year, because I know this past year before CES, we weren't putting out a lot of video content, is to do one video per week, maybe more, but the goal is to do at least one. So if you aren't subscribed to us, you could just search Think Computers, all one word. This past week, we put out a video on the RTX 2060. So we have three RTX 2060s here. We tested them all, and we kind of like let you know, like, is it a card worth buying? It wasn't a review of all of those cards. It was just like, here's the performance of the 2060 against, you know, like the 1070 Ti, which it kind of, you know, goes against, as well as like an older 1060, you know, just to see, like I said, if the performance is good enough and you want to buy it. So definitely check out our YouTube page. If you aren't subscribed, subscribe for sure. And we'll have a lot more content coming. Like I said, at least one video per week, which should launch every Monday. That's like my goal. We already have one ready, almost ready to go for next week. It'll be pretty exciting to show you that. And of course, we'll talk about it next week on the podcast. But we will end things here and talk about if we saw any movies or did any cool tech stuff. I've been working on reviews lately, but what did you do anything cool or see anything?
I mean, nothing like super tech related or anything, but we did go see with the kids How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. We've really kind of enjoyed the first two of that series. And, you know, it's sure it's pegged as a kid's movie, but I've really enjoyed all of them. And
well, so you're a big kid.
I definitely recommend it. I'm a big kid, that's right, so I enjoy those kid movies. No, you know, I've got a couple products here coming up next week or two for reviews and like that streaming guide part two. But other than that, no, just been playing some Apex. And,
yeah, I've been playing a lot of Apex, but I did notice on Netflix, so these... I guess you would call them like documentary series have come out. I think they start in the 70s. I don't know if they start in the 50s, but they're called like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and they're directed by Tom Hanks. They're so good, and basically it's like a documentary series of maybe 10 episodes per decade, and it's like the coolest stuff of that decade, whether it's like they talk about like the best TV shows, the music, the politics, the technology, everything that happened in the decade. There's like a 1 hour, 10 one-hour documentaries on that certain thing. It's awesome. And the 2000s came out, and that's kind of like where I really grew up. Like I'm 34 and I graduated high school in 2003. So that's like a good part of, you know, especially the early 2000s, like graduating high school into college and like all of the cool stuff that came out. Obviously that was like right after the internet bubble and like when, you know, we saw like the iPod and all that cool stuff. It's all talked about in the docuseries on Netflix. So you can definitely, like I said, I would definitely check out all of those. I would start from like, try to find the one in the 70s and then go forward. But really cool. And, it just like, it allows you to kind of like, you know, look back and be like, oh man, I remember that TV show. I remember, you know, getting my first iPod or whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking at these thumbnails, right? Like from the 80s and 90s and 2000s, and it makes me want to resub to Netflix just to watch these.
Yeah, it's a really cool docuseries. I've watched all of them up until the two. I'm watching the 2000s now. I'm on like the third episode, so really cool. Highly recommended. We'll link it in the show notes, but we're gonna end it here. Sorry, it was a little bit shorter than we normally do. Just not a whole lot going on. But as I always say, we will have the full show notes so you can go through and get even more information on everything that we talked about. And if you're looking to subscribe, it's just Think Computers, all one word. We're on every podcasting software website. Should be there. If we're not, shoot us a message and we'll get on there. So until next week, catch you guys later.